But it's great to see all of you here today on this really cold day. Things are supposed to get a little bit warmer, more snow tomorrow, from what I understand, but not a whole lot. It's going to eventually get warmer, so hang in there. Okay? It's great to be with you, though, and I do appreciate all of you coming out to be here to gather together as family to worship God. We've been studying, doing this study called Crazy Love. It's a look at a book by a fellow by the name of Francis Chan that we've been studying that really focuses on God's crazy, relentless love that he has for us, that he just continues to pour out his love for us. And really what we've been trying to do in this study is really just trying to focus on getting to know God more and better in a relationship with him. And it is about learning to love him and his creation, that's us, okay, better. It's about learning to follow the greatest command and the second greatest command that Jesus gives to us, to love the Lord with everything within you and to love your neighbor as yourself. The more we get to know God and to love him in relationship, the more that we share that love with other people. And what we've been doing in this study, as we're trying to understand more about this God that we pray to, who is he and what is he really like and what are, what are the attributes that God has? So we get to understand some things, and we look at the creation as we began this and see this magnificent world that God has given us to live in and all the variety of different things and the way that he put this world together that tells us a lot about him. And it tells us a lot about his character and the attributes of God, the way that he loves us and the way that he pours out that love for us. But ultimately, what I really hope to accomplish for us as a church family here is for us to begin to understand more and more why does God deserve, why does he have a right to our love? You see, and for us to return that love to him and for our worship. Why does God deserve for us to come together like this and worship him as our God? And why does he deserve and even, yes, demand that we obey him in that relationship? And so that's what I'm hoping that we can really come to more and more as we continue to study. This morning is the sixth lesson in this series. And this morning we're going to be talking about serving leftovers to a holy God. Okay? Serving leftovers to a holy God. Let's talk about first things first. You know, one of the things that we have to understand, the Bible clearly teaches us, is that there are some offerings that God accepts, and there are other offerings that God rejects. We need to understand that as we think about especially our worship of Almighty God. Because if we don't understand that, then it's really easy for us to kind of fall into the trap of offering God worship that he's not accepting from us. You see, because it may be that what we're doing is we're giving God in our worship of him our leftovers. We go to, and you go all the way back to Genesis chapter 4, the story of Cain and Abel. Okay? Cain was a keeper of the fields, and Abel was a keeper of the flocks, the Bible tells us there in Genesis 4 and verse 2. Now, there came a time when both Cain and Abel went to offer sacrifices to the Lord. All right? And when they did, here's what the Bible tells us about their sacrifices. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. Now, before we go any further with this, we need to make sure we understand something here. There are a lot of people that believe and a lot of people teaching that the reason that God did not look with favor on Cain's offering, but he did on Abel's, is because Abel offered an animal sacrifice where Cain offered a sacrifice in the field. That's not true. That's not why God didn't accept the offerings. In fact, even within the law of Moses, there were special sacrifices and so forth. There were requirements of the law that there be both animal sacrifices and grain offerings. So it wasn't what was offered that caused God to accept one and reject the other, but rather it was an issue of the heart. Take a look at what chapter 4, verse 3 tells us. Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. Okay? Cain brought some. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flocks. What's the difference between those two? Not an animal sacrifice versus a grain offering, but it was bringing the best versus bringing something. And so it's really easy to get the understanding from this that what happened probably is that, you know, Cain had his grain there and his fruit of the soil. He said, I need to make an offering to the Lord. So, well, here's some right here. I'll just take some of this and offer it because I need to make an offering to the Lord. Whereas Abel looked upon his worship of God and said, I need to make an offering to the Lord, and here's the best that I have to offer from my flocks and my herds. And one was accepted and one was rejected. But it was not the item, it was the attitude of the heart. Some versus the best. You see? The sacrifices that were required by God, even under the old law of Moses, were required to be the first fruits of what they had. And they were required to be the best that they had to give to God. The idea of the first fruits, when you offered first fruits to God, it was all with the understanding and the belief that God was going to provide, help me out here, second fruits, you see? That if I give God the first that He gives to me, then He's going to continue to bless me and I'll get seconds and thirds and what have you. But I give God first. Okay? Unfortunately, a lot of times we kind of get that all backwards, don't we? And we take care of everything else that we've got to take care of first, and then we give what's left over to God. Well, you see, that flies in the face of the whole principle of first fruits. For what God wants us to do is to trust Him. You see, to give Him first of what He has given to us, believing and knowing that He's going to take care of us and take care of the rest of the things that we have obligations for. Now, don't misunderstand. That's not about all of our wants, okay? You say, it's about what we need that God has promised to take care of us. But we need to give to Him first. This is what first fruits is all about. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 5, this goes all the way back to the first Passover when the Israelites were getting ready to leave from Egyptian bondage. The instructions that God gave to Moses and the Israelite people were this: the animals that you choose, that lamb that they were to choose to sprinkle the blood over the doorpost, they must be year-old males without defect. And you may take them from the sheep or the goats. But the key there is without defect. They needed to be, you say, without spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. So in other words, God is saying to them, look, I don't want you just to go and pick something. This one's lame anyway, and I can use that because I can't use it for anything else. I'm going to give it to God. God will not accept that kind of an offering from His people. See? First fruits is all about giving God our best, not what we have left over when everything else is taken care of. So the challenge is for us to really look at it and say, what am I giving to God? As I give myself and of my means and everything, am I giving God leftovers or am I giving God the best that I have to give? And you see, the Apostle Paul tells us that in our giving, we need to be motivated by mercy. Okay? And if we're motivated by mercy, then our giving is going to come from where it needs to come from. Why do I say that? Well, just think about it. When we look at life through the mercy of God, and that's what Paul tells us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Look at what he says. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy. So, in other words, when you are giving of yourself in whatever way you are giving, whether it's monetarily, whether it's physically, service-wise, time, it doesn't matter. Whatever you are giving, if you will give thinking of God's mercy and keeping that in mind, that is going to, that's going to affect how and what you give. Okay? I don't know about you, but when I really stop and reflect on the mercy that God has given to me, I tell you what, I can't help but to be so grateful. Because as we were talking about in our Bible class this morning, you know, I don't want justice, I want mercy. Because every single one of us, if we got justice, if we got what we really deserve, we'd get hell. You see? And so Paul is urging us, you see, in giving of ourselves, to do that giving in view of God's mercy. Keep God's mercy in mind when you're giving. And then this is what the result's going to be. He says, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices. You see? Do that keeping God's mercy in mind. And that sacrifice, that offering that you make to God, you see, will be holy and pleasing to Him. This, he says, is your spiritual act of worship. So it's a matter of an offering, whether, again, it's of our monetary means or whether it's of ourselves, whatever we have to offer to God, whether that offering is going to be pleasing to Him or not. And if we make that offering in view of God's mercy, chances are it's going to be pleasing to Him. You see? And I'd suggest to you, how could it be otherwise? When you offer back to God, keeping in mind what He has done for you. You see? Think about how that will affect you and the offerings that you give to God of yourself in everything. The Apostle Paul talked about it this way. He was talking about the Macedonian churches and their giving. There was a need that was going on amongst the Christians that were facing really hard times because of a famine. And notice what he says about this group of churches from Macedonia. He says, they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves how? He says, first to the Lord, and then to us in keeping with God's will. So you see, there it is again. It's that idea of giving it first to God. Keeping God first in our lives. Okay? God deserves to be first. Again, based on His mercy and what He has already done for us. You see, He really was that original Passover lamb. And He continues to be that for us today. Let me ask you this question. How many friends would you have left if you spent as much time with them as you do God? Just think about that. Think about how much time do you spend with God? Whether it's just in talking to Him in prayer, whether it's studying, reading His Bible, listening to Him, in other words, how much time do you spend in worship? You say, gathering like this and in worship? How much time do you spend with God? Now take that and apply it to any of your family members or any of your friends. Say, how many of them would still be in relationship with you if you spent that same amount with them as you do with God? You say? And again, the point is I think it's really easy for us to really go all out. And we give to everything else and spend with everybody else and time and all that. And we oftentimes think of God last. We give Him what's left. And God deserves and demands our best and our first rather than our last and our worst. Okay? In Malachi, the text that was read for us, let's take a look at a couple of things here that we really need to understand. In this text, in verses 6 through 8, it shows us and tells us, demonstrates to us God's contempt for the sacrifices that the Israelites were making, were offering to Him. Notice a couple of things here. Verse 7, he says, you place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. The Lord's table is contemptible?
How could that be?
Well, we say that when we offer things, as he says here, you bring blind animals for sacrifice. And he says, isn't it wrong to do that? You're bringing lame sacrifices, animals that are lame to offer on my altar? Is that not showing contempt for God's altar? You're bringing crippled, diseased animals and offering them. That's what they were doing. And God says, isn't that wrong? Don't you see the wrong in doing that? You see, they weren't giving God the best they had. They were giving to God what they didn't want. Oh, I've got this blind sheep over here. I need to make a sacrifice to God. So this one, I can't really do anything with it. I'll use that one. Or this one, we can't barely get around because it's got a lame leg, and so I'll offer that lamb as a sacrifice because I have to offer a sacrifice. So why can't I just give them this one? And God says, no, that's not acceptable because they weren't giving him the best that they had to offer. Verse 8, he says, try offering them to your governor. In other words, give those to your friends and see how they would like it. How would your friends respond if you treated them like you're treating me? That's basically what God is telling us. Well, think about it this way. If you treated your friends that way, how would they respond to you? How would they react to you? Okay? Let's say that you were going to put on a dinner party. You invited a bunch of your friends over to your house for a dinner party. Okay? And so you set out all the fixings and so forth, and you invite them over, and they're expecting this great meal, and you put out the leftovers. And you say to them, well, hey, you know, we have all this stuff that's left over from this week. We haven't finished it all. I thought maybe I'd invite you over, and you could help us finish this stuff off and clean out the refrigerator. What do you suppose your friends would say? How would you react to that if someone did that to you? I mean, I'm not saying anything bad about eating leftovers. I have learned to do that. Okay? And I know a lot of them are really good. But that's not the point. The point is, would we do that to our friends and our family? That, you know, yeah, come over, we're going to have a dinner party and give them our leftovers? Well, why would we do that to God? You see? Why would we do that to Him? If you gave your family and friends the same priority as you give God, how many of them would still be your friends? You see? Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. This is a text we've talked about many different times in the past. About Jesus, the Apostle Paul says this, that he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. Other translations say it this way, that in all things he might have the preeminence. That means that he's number one. He has, literally it means first place. Okay? That in how many things? All things. You say? Now, think about it this way. How many things are excluded when you say all things? The answer is zero, okay? Nothing is excluded. When you say all things, that means all things, everything. And so, really, what we need to understand is that God wants to be first place in our lives. We've said it this way. It's an easy way. I found this on a bumper sticker years and years ago, and I share it with people all the time. An easy way to remember what this text is saying is the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That if we keep Jesus as the main thing, since he is the main thing, that's the main thing we got to do in our life. You see? Keep him number one. There is nothing in your life where God should not be number one. Maybe you didn't hear that. There is nothing in your life where God shouldn't be number one or first place. You see? Whenever God takes second or third or fourth or any other place other than first place, then he's not where he should be. He's not where he deserves to be. As this God who loves us with his crazy, relentless love deserves to be number one in all things in our lives. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. God does not want, in other words, your leftovers. And he especially does not want, watch your toes now, okay? He especially does not want your Sunday leftovers. Okay? That I come to church when I don't have anything else to do. Okay? Or that, well, okay, I feel pretty good this morning. I'll go ahead and come to church this morning, or whatever the case may be. Now, I'm not talking about when you're not feeling great and you have a legitimate reason not to be here, but to look at worship and go, well, I just don't feel like worshiping today. God deserves more than that, does he not?
Amen.
You see? So, when you talk to God, do you talk to him after you've taken care of everything else in your life? All the rest of your day is all taken care of. And so now you got time left over to talk to God. If that's what's happening, then he doesn't hold first place. He's not the main thing, and you're not keeping him the main thing in your life. You see? Again, do you come to worship when you feel like it? You see? And there are a lot of people that say, well, you know, I just don't get a whole lot out of worship. Okay, newsflash, bulletin going on here. Worship is not about you.
Amen.
Okay? It's not about you. Worship is about him. It's not about what you're getting out of it or not getting out of it. It's about what you are giving to him. You see? So, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, you know, the friend of mine that gave me that button, y'all remember that? Get over yourself. It's not about you. Bringing your worship and your offering to God, of yourself and of your means, whatever it is, it's about him. It's not about you. Okay? And he deserves our best. So, when we're taking up the collection, you know, you look in your wallet or your purse and you find what you have left over to give to God and say, well, I got this, I don't have anything for this, so I'll go ahead and drop that in the basket. Or are you thinking about it ahead of time and planning it in your heart to give to the Lord? You see? As you have been prospered, in other words, as he has already given to you. Okay? So are you giving him first fruits, or are you giving him the leftovers? In verse 6 of Malachi, I'm kind of going backwards a little bit here. A son, he says, honors his father and a servant his master. If I'm a father, where is the honor due me? If I'm a master, where is the respect due me? Says the Lord Almighty. In other words, he deserves that because of who he is. Our God, who has this crazy, absolutely crazy, relentless love, deserves and demands our best, not our leftovers. He is an almighty God, a holy God. And he deserves the best that we have to give to him. I saw this on a church sign. And I think it's a real, you know, real simple way to say it. Give God what is right, not what's left. You know? And that's what it's about. Because there's a right way to worship God and to honor him, and there's a wrong way to do it. And we need to give him what is right, not what is left over. Why? Because of what he has given to us. And I don't know about you, but to me, that's crazy love. That's crazy. So, the challenge for us this morning is to think about, what are you giving to God? As you worship him, not just when you come here, but not just here, but in your life, offering your body as a living sacrifice, and of your time, and of your heart, and of your money, and all of the things, the ways that you have to offer yourself to God, what are you giving to Him? Are you giving Him your first and your best, or are you just giving Him leftovers? That's the challenge. We've already talked about how God loves us so much, and He wants to bless our lives. We're His children. And He pours out His blessings upon us. Does He not deserve for us to give back to Him the best that we have? And to give that to Him first? That's what I want you to think about. We're going to stand and sing a song here in just a moment. An invitation song. The Lord's invitation is open to everyone. It's a time for us to reflect and to think about how are we responding to God as He pours out His love to us. How are we responding to Him? And maybe some of the things that we've talked about this morning, cause you to look at and go, you know, maybe I need to straighten some things out here in my relationship with God, because I've not been giving Him my best, and I've not been giving Him first. I've been giving God my leftovers. And to recommit yourself to giving God first and the best that you have. Somebody here this morning who's not given your life to Christ yet, you're not a Christian. And I'm here to tell you, you can do that right now, this morning. If you are ready to commit your life to Jesus, to a relationship with Him, if you believe that He's the Son of God, then confess Him as Lord. Repent of the sin that's separating you from God, and then have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now, this morning. I saw Chuck checking the water earlier this morning. Everything's ready, right, Chuck? It's all ready. Okay. So if you're ready to make that commitment in your life, you can do that. Just come up and let me know. Dale will be in the back to receive anyone that would like to have a private prayer or conversation with him. He'll be back there to receive you, and I'll be up front to receive anyone like to come up here. Let's stand together and sing.